Governor Peter Shumlin had high hopes for the state's high court. The outgoing Democratic governor wanted to nominate a replacement for Justice John Dooley, who announced while Shumlin was still governor that he would be retiring from the state Supreme Court in April. But House Minority Leader Don Turner objected, saying that Republican Governor-elect Phil Scott, who will be sworn in today as the next governor of Vermont, should be the one to make that nomination. And yesterday, the state's high court agreed, handing Shumlin a defeat on his last official day in office. We're parsing through that decision this morning with Bridget Acey, former Solicitor General for Vermont and now in private practice in Montpelier. Thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Thank you for having me, Mitch.
So what do you make of the court's decision to deny this appointment? I mean, Governor Shumlin maintained he was just doing his job to try and fill a vacancy in the court, and that once that vacancy was announced under his governorship, he should have had the ability to do it, despite the fact that the seat wouldn't technically become vacant until after he left office.
Right. Well, the court really had two questions that it had to decide. The first was whether it had an appropriate case before it, a live, concrete dispute that it could decide. And then it had to go on and consider the merits. So first, what the court asked was, do either Representative Turner or Senator Benning have what in the legal world we call standing, which to bring this suit? And that what that really means is, do they have enough of a specific interest here that they can press this issue and bring a case before the court to decide it? And the court decided that, yes, that Senator Benning, in his role as a senator, because he would vote on the appointment, did have a specific interest and had brought a proper case before the court. And then the court was really swayed by the plain language of the Constitution, and that's what the opinion primarily focuses on, that the Constitution says that the governor shall fill a vacancy in the office of, and there isn't a vacancy until the current occupant of the office finishes up his term.
So Justice John Dooley found himself in the odd position of ruling on this case while being the very justice who's retiring and who, in some sense, this case was about. Should he have recused himself for any possible conflict of interest?
No, I don't think that Justice Dooley had a conflict. It might have seemed a little odd to some people, but really a justice only has to recuse when they have a personal interest or monetary interest. Those are the normal standards that get applied to why a judge would recuse themselves from a case. And in the ordinary course, of course, a justice plays no role in deciding who is going to be appointed to replace them. That's a question for the other branches. So I don't think there was any reason that I'd be aware of that Justice Dooley would have had to recuse.
Is there any kind of standard for how long a justice stays on after renouncing an intention to retire? I'm sure that Governor Shumlin would have preferred that Justice Dooley had stepped down sooner while, you know, he was still governor. And then again, technically, there would have been that vacancy that Shumlin could have filled.
No, there's no standard for that. I think it has happened before that justices have simply decided that they will serve out the term that they are serving and not go through the retention process. It just happens that the way the current legislation works, that decision about not being a candidate for retention, that is not being a candidate to be to serve another term, is made 7 months in advance of the end of the term. So the deadline for making that decision is September 1st of the given year, and the terms end on March 31st. So there's this big gap in time, and that's here where there was going to be a change in administration. That's really what led to the real, you know, legitimate questions about how the appointment process would continue.
Bridget Acey, you've argued before the state Supreme Court before as a former Solicitor General. Had you ever seen anything similar to this where an outgoing governor was trying to fill a seat on the high court before leaving office, while that justice still had some time left on the job before stepping down?
No, I hadn't, and I don't. I think generally the parties in the court had agreed that this was a novel question. And again, it was driven by the timing that the statutes created, that the decision about not sitting for retention came so far in advance of the end of the term.
Well, given that this is a novel situation, as you say, does this set a precedent for the state? Are we likely to see this decision as one that really sort of prevents this sort of thing from being brought up again if it ever occurs in this way?
Yes, and I think when you read the court's opinion, you see that the court wanted this issue to be resolved, to avoid having political concerns raised around appointments. That's actually mentioned in the opinion. The understanding that our process, which was adopted in the 1970s, was intended to try to free this process from politics as much as possible. And, you know, the court says in the opinion that this really has nothing to do with who the individual parties are or who the nominee might be. It really has to do with our state institutions and people's confidence in them. And so they've resolved this question now.
Bridget Acey is a former Solicitor General for Vermont, now in private practice in Montpelier. Thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Thanks for having me.